Okay. So last week we had left off by seeing the beginning of what the Rambam had to say about Nevuah. You remember the Rambam had been working his way through the history of Halacha, with a focus first, obviously, on the transmission of Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted to Moshe Rabbeinu Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. And then we began to see more nuance. Torah Shebichtav is fully, the Chamisha Chumashe Torah, the Rambam stressed, fully transmitted, word for word, letter for letter, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, as he put it very clearly, from the Beis of Bereishis, the very first word of Chumash, until the Lamed of Le'enei Kol Yisrael, the very last letter in Chumash, is all transmitted from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu over the course of the 40 years, the last 40 years of Moshe's life, and Moshe commits it to writing and gives it to Klal Yisrael before he passes away. Torah Shebaal Peh, also given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe. The other Rama had pointed out a critical nuance, that Torah Shebaal Peh consists of what you could call halachos mekubalos and halachos mechudashos. There are halachos that we have b'kabbalah, tradition, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught to Moshe Rabbeinu, he passed it on, and you have the halachos which are mechudashos, which a Chachmei HaTorah at some point were mechadesh, which they discovered. They came up with something new that no one had known before. They discovered dinim using the rules and the principles that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe Rabbeinu, the interpretive rules, Yud Gil Minyash HaTorah Nidreshes Behem. And the Rambam went on to say, Moshe passes away, and now any new Shaila is going to be worked out through looking at what Hashem already told Moshe and using the analytic tools, the Midrash Shatara and Rashas Behem, to look at the Torah Shebichtav, look at the Torah Shapet we already have, and figure out, and what's the story here? Not through Nevuah. There's no longer any picking up the red phone, so to speak. There's no longer any, let me go ask a Kaddish Baruch Hu what the din is. Moshe passes away. Only Moshe could do that. As he put it here, Masha Yasu Yoshua Pinchas Be'ina Inam Vahekish Huesha Yasu Ravina Ravashi. And we saw last time the chain of 40 links of the Masorah from Hashem to Moshe all the way through to Ravina and Ravashi. And that is, they were 39 links apart, Yehoshua, Ravina, Ravashi, and yet, fundamentally, Yehoshua is a great Navi. Ravina and Ravashi were long after the period of Nevuah, but in terms of Paskin and Ashaila, fundamentally they're the same. Of course, then you wonder, so then what is the purpose of Nevuah after Moshe? So he said, well, here the Rambam says something pretty surprising. Yisron HaNavi Upa'alo Batorah Mahu says, what's the virtue of a Navi? What's the advantage of a Navi? What is his function within a Torah system? If he's not Paskin and Ashaila, if he's not doing what Moshe did, so what's the point of a Navi? Interesting question. You expect to hear, oh, here's an interesting answer. The Rambam sort of like overwhelms us. He doesn't just say, I have an answer. He says, Hine hu chei nafshi min heikarm ha-gedolim v'hatsumim. This is one of the greatest, most powerful yesodos in all of Torah. This is one of the fundamentals of our belief. Wow. Just thought we were asking an interesting question. Asher aleihem mishan hadas v'yesoda. Our religion is based on this. Wow. And right away, we saw our ears perk up. Like, it's an interesting question. What's the point of a Navi if he can't pass Kanshilas? You know, and there could be good answers to that. The Navi gives Moshe, he does this, he does that. Now, the Rambam's reaction seems like a little almost extreme. Like, this is so important. This is mamash it. And he says, Ani ro'eh ki zeh makom. Zeh makom. Now is the time for me to explain it, and we're going to have to go through, we're going to have to get back up a little bit, explain a little more about Nevuah, and then get to understanding, you know, what's the role of a Navi. So right away, we're sort of, our interest is piqued, and we're a little confused why this is so fundamental. I'll give you a little bit of a spoiler. You know, the Rambam has his, in the Hakdamah to Perek Chelek, the Hakdamah to the Perek Chelek, the end of Masachah Sanhedrin, he lists the 13 Ikari HaEmunah. And we spoke about this already earlier this summer. The 13 animamins, as we often think about them, the 13 animamins are, the 13 animamins usually break into three categories. The first five about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The last four about Tzchar V'Onesh. The first five are God exists and Hashem Echad, he has no body. He's not bounded in time. No one before, he's for eternal, and we daven only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those are the first five. The last four are loosely speaking about Tzchar V'Onesh, about the results of the impact of our actions. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows and cares what we're up to, and that there's Tzchar V'Onesh in general, and specifically Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim. Those are the last four. There's our lives matter, our decisions matter, and they fit into a larger context of Olam Hazeh, present style Olam Hazeh, within the framework of a perfected Olam Hazeh with the Moshe Mashiach and Tchias HaMesim, which according to most Rishonim is Olam Haba. So those are the first five, last four. And the middle four are about Torah. The first five are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the last four about Schar V'Onesh, loosely speaking. The middle four are about Torah. Belief in Nevuah, specifically Nevuas Moshe, that's number 7, 6 and 7. 8 is that the Torah that we have was received, that is the Torah that was received from Moshe Rabbeinu. And number 9, the last of the middle section, number 9 is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not revoke or abrogate the Torah. The Torah is immutable. There's not going to be a take-two from God. That one, when he gets to it, he says, well, I already explained this extensively in the beginning of the Hakdama, in the Hakdama to the beginning of the Perash HaMishnah. That's here. I mean, this discussion of Nevuah is not just about Ikkar number 6, we believe in Nevuah, and Ikkar number 7, we believe in the unique and superior Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, but here's where it really matters. And as he said, this is understanding Nevuah is Mishan Hadas V'Yesoda. This is one of the major fundamentals. This is like you build a building, you have to lay the foundation first. We watch new construction. Now they first dig out, and what first happens doesn't look necessarily so exciting. They're just, excavating a hole, and they're putting in the cinder blocks. It gets exciting when they start building this first floor and the second floor, and you see walls, and you see rooms, and doors, and windows. But the foundation is where it's at if you want the building to stand. So the religion, the foundation of our religion is this. Because as we're going to see, understanding the role of Nevuah and how it's different from Nevuah's Moshe is going to help us to understand that Matan Torah was a one-time event. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving the Torah to the Jewish people, as he tells us in that original Torah, he doesn't plan. There's no take two to come. That's why we reject Christianity and Islam, because they are built on the assumption of the abrogation of Torah. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Jewish people, but then a couple centuries later, millennium later, he changed the system. So we reject that fundamentally, and we reject that internally based on what the Torah itself says. Once you accept Nevuas Moshe. As Rama's going to develop, that's built in. And he's going to talk about various Nevi'im or Navi-like figures throughout history who made very compelling presentations. Jesus and Muhammad were among them, as was Shabtai Tzvi and several others, well-known and less well-known. But as the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built in the Zos HaTor Lotei Mukhlefes insulates us from the cult of charisma and insulates from people deciding it would be convenient to just to change the system and reboot. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to make the Nevuah of Moshe unique. And he's going to begin to talk about what Nevuah is and what Nevuah isn't. And that's going to give us a lot of insight into our religion. And as he goes on to say, and we'll stop in a second for a question, and it's intriguing also, the very first thing he wants to talk about, so this is A lot of things we need to talk about Nevuah, and this is going to be really important in terms of understanding Torah, understanding our religion. And the first thing we need to talk about is how do you certify a Navi? Which sounds like an interesting question. How would you know, how would you know someone's a real Navi? After all, there's a mitzvah Elof Tishmon, there's a mitzvah to listen to the Navi. And we sort of intuit that just because I'm riding the New York City subway and a guy comes over to me, although few of you ride the New York City subway, but what you stereotype in your minds as the New York City subway full of dangerous, bizarre people. So you're riding the metro in your local community, and a fellow comes over to you and says, God spoke to him last night and told him XYZ. So we sort of intuit that I don't have to listen to this fellow. Why? He says he's a Navi. Well, obviously, just because you say you're a Navi doesn't make you a Navi. So how do you make yourself a Navi? How would I prove? It's an interesting sort of logical question. And we're going to see as Rambam deals with it, it's a lot more than just an intriguing logical puzzle. It's actually really, really significant. Figuring out who is a Navi, how you know whether someone is a Navi or not, will have a lot to do with understanding what Nevuah is supposed to be versus how it's often abused. You don't tell me you've been waiting for a question. And then Yoni. Yeah, the question about Gzeirah Shavah is not directly relevant. Maybe let's hold off. The question about Gzeirah Shavah is interesting. The Prima Gadam, you're asking about, is Gzeirah Shavah different than the other Mishnah Torah and Drash Pen? The Prima Gadam and others do talk about. Maybe let's hold off a little bit until we get to the... Right now we're like in the second segment of the Rambam's Hakdamah. He's talking about Nevuah. He's going to afterwards sort of focus on how drushes work. And we get there, that is a very important question. So maybe let's hold off on that just for a little bit. For a couple of days. Yeah, Yoni. Ah, yeah. So Yoni say, why not say, yeah. Yoni's raised an interesting question, or an interesting point, I should say. The Rambam says that the first question we need to think about in studying Nevuah thoughtfully is, how do you get certified as a Navi? So Yoni says, hey, well, maybe you have a pre-existing Navi can certify you. Moshe is a certified Navi. He recognizes Yehoshua as a Navi, and the chain continues. That definitely could have been one way to do it. As a matter of fact, Reuven Margolios, well, even before that, that's true in terms of learning. In terms of smicha, in terms of chachma, to be a chacham is an ongoing chain from Moshe Rabbeinu. Yes, it could have been, it's interesting, it could have been like a smicha for Nevuah as well. There could have been. There could have been a... interesting. I'm not sure why that's not the case. Other than... It allows for Kadosh Baruch Hu did need it to be the case. Let's see what the option is. The actual option, well, in a sense, it does relate back to Nevuas Moshe. That's one of the threads that's going to run through here. As we're going to see, a person becomes reckoned, sort of like part of the framework, frame of thinking that the Rambam is giving us, is let's figure out, let's take a look back at the language of the Rambam. He says, we're going to figure out Chalukas Tainos HaNevuah LeNevi'im. We need to think about different types of claims to Nevuah. Uvametis Ames HaNevuah. And how do you certify a Nevuah? How do you know the Nevuah is Ames? He's the real thing. Hol v'zeh gam kei nikra. That's also a very important yisod. Interesting, that's so important. Kfar Tobo kol hamon b'nei Adam. Many people, the masses have made mistakes about this, as we've discussed. There are religions that were founded on the assumption that someone is a Navi, even though that may be a very tenuous argument. But even many, many uniquely wise people have been pulled in. And he's going to go on to talk about this as being a chelik of Torah. And the halacha has what to say about... who's a Navi, and the rules that he's going to unpack are based on the Pesukim. So although there's not necessarily a direct chain from Moshe to this Navi, it's a little more flexible than that. But ultimately, the way that we certify someone as Navi is based on Nevuas Moshe. Yeah, dear. Question. Yeah. Fantastic. So Adir says is true, and Benazi corrects. He says, well, isn't it obvious? So let's take a peek a little more. Let's see how the Rambam takes us through this. Because he goes on to say, Adir is talking about, let's see if what he predicts is accurate. Fantastic. You're ahead of the pack, Adir. Because the Rambam goes on to say, most people think, Heim choshvim, ki anavu lotus ha-mez l'to'ana, ela im ken yasa mofes ke'echad mi mofse Moshe Rabbeinu. Most people think that the way to prove that you're a Navi is to do Nisim. Do an ace, do a Mophis. Wow, he walked on water. Wow, he healed the sick. Wow, he did some sort of Mophis, and he changed Minhago Sha'olam. He did something supernatural. He suspended the laws of nature. Like, we do find that Nevi'im sometimes perform Nisim. Kemo Sha'ase Elio Bachayosa Ben Isha Amana. Elio performed Trias Amesim. We know from the Tanakh, from Sefer Melachim, some of the Nisim performed by Eliyahu's Talmud Elisha. So it is often true that Nevi'im sometimes do perform miracles. But that's not it's neither necessary nor sufficient. You don't need to do Nisim or to prove you're a Navi, and it wouldn't help. Yeah? Fantastic. Exactly what he's going to say. Exactly. The alternative is a prediction. As Rambam is going to say, based on the psukim in Re'eh and Shoftim largely, you demonstrate that you're a Navi in large part by making a lengthy prediction, and the Beis Din will record it, and then they're going to see, it may take days or weeks or months or years, to see the Nevuah come true, and to see that it comes true with all the details. If you do that, do another few times. If you've made several entirely accurate predictions, in fact, as Adir said, that is the din. That is when we know that a Jew, or that's part of how we know that a Jew is a Navi. And at that point, we give him that status, and from that point on, have a chiyuv to listen to his Nevuah, Elav Tishma'un. As opposed to someone who does an age, which Adir points out is not necessary, it's also insufficient. As Rambam goes on to say later, how many people here read Mark Twain? Any Twain fans? Any Twain fans? Fantastic. Connecticut Yankee King Arthur's Court? Maybe not. Has anyone here read Connecticut Yankee King Arthur's Court? Not yet. Okay. It's a... If you like that type of thing, it's a worthwhile summer read on a lot of levels. In part because it actually also, in addition to its inherent literary value, it actually captures something very important that the Rambam is conveying here as well, the next couple pages. Again, King Arthur's Court, here's the executive summary. There's this craftsman, laborer in Connecticut who gets into fight, gets bonked over the head, and comes to like a good 1400 years in the past, in the days of King Arthur. And he meets Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table and Merlin, the supposed magician. And here's the thing, this worker from Connecticut, so he's a Yankee in the full sense of the stereotype. He's a handy, resourceful fellow. And he basically convinces, I'll try to avoid being too much of a spoiler, but among his escapades, as he's walking around in the 5th century with 19th century technology in his head. And it's a sort of a comedy based on time travel, and he plays it fantastically well. At one point, he tells them all that he is a greater prophet than Merlin, and he's going to prove to them that he is it. You see that ancient church, I think it was. He's going to do miracles. And he makes his own dynamite. And he rigs up a pump There was an old well that had stopped working. He rigs up a pump and sticks it down the well, down to the water, and he sets up this dynamite. And when he at the right moment, at the psychological moment in his presentation, he presses the button and pulls the fuse, whatever it is, and all of a sudden the massive explosions, all the dynamite starts going off. There's like crazy fireworks, and then water starts flowing out of the old church because he got the pump started. And they all think that he's, you know, the greatest magician, the greatest prophet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's using technology that they don't have and have never seen. So it's, you know, with classic Twainian humor, it actually captures a lot of things. And one of which is the fact that you can seem to do miracles without really doing miracles. So Rambam goes on to say, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't require, the Nisim are neither necessary nor sufficient is because people can be fooled by Nisim. And the Chumash itself says that earlier on. And Moshe and the Chartumim. People can pull all sorts of tricks in a variety of ways. But to be able to predict the future with utter accuracy, in detail, and not just like the fortune cookies that tell you you will meet someone important today. We're talking about a highly detailed, nuanced description of the future, and everything gets recorded and every single detail comes true, and that's repeated several times. That is actually a far more effective way of demonstrating that someone is a Navi. Yoni. Right. I think you're right. You're asking about Eliyahu Bar Carmel. So Yoni, I think you're right. Al Pi Din, what happened to Har Carmel would not have been a halachically valid proof that he is a Navi. And that's not what he was trying to accomplish. That's a good point. Right? It's not what he was trying to accomplish. Right. But he got people thinking, and he got their attention long enough to be able to have a heart-to-heart conversation about this syncretism that was going on. And they're sort of mixing their Avodas Hashem and their Avodas Zara Tabal. And he did also demonstrate very effectively that the Nevi Habal were phonies. Because they did believe that it was all about their Nevuos and so on, about their Nisim and so on and so forth. And he got them into a spot where they had to actually sort of a put up or shut up moment, and they could not demonstrate any actual nisim. So it was a very effective presentation, but it wasn't right. It was not a Har HaCarmel was not a halachically binding certification of Eliyahu as Navi. But as you said, right, Eliyahu already had been certified as Navi long before. It was more a question of getting people to actually listen to the message. Yeah, let's wrap up for the more machshava with that question. That's a strong question, and it opens some things we'll talk about now and some things we'll get to next time. So you say the Gemara at the end of Makkos, right? The mini Gisrael is to learn the end of Makkos every year of Pesach, I think. Right? No. Well, that's the most common siyum, and everyone makes a siyum of Pesach. The most common siyum is definitely the end of And those comments seems on the Maseches Makkos. So I've thought to myself for a while. It's like almost like developed like mini gestrelas to chazer the last Agadot and Makkos in Erev Pesach morning. And there is a lot going on in that Agadot. So you're asking, well, in that Agadot, where Rabbi Akiva and his Chazerim are walking by the Harabais, and it's totally desolate and it's horrible, and then they see it looked different. It's painful to see in one sense now because we see another religion has established an outpost on Har Habayis. It was painful to see in a different sense then. It was a desolate space. It wasn't built up. It was in ruins. And then they see, to top it all off, they see wild animals prowling around where the Har Habayis, the Kodesh HaKadoshim had been, and they push them over the edge. They're so in pain. They tear their clothing. And then Rabbi Akiva is smiling. And they can't figure out why is Rabbi Akiva smiling. He says, why are you upset? He says, why are we sad? Look at this terrible state of Churban. This is the holiest place in the world. The Ikar Makom HaShoras HaShechina. And Rabbi Akiva says, l'kach ani mitzachik. That's why I'm smiling. Why? Because now that he sees the nevuah, the negative nevuah of Shulim Hilcha, where the Navi had predicted that foxes would one day walk on the makam of the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now that he sees it, so now he has renewed connection to the positive nevuah of Zechariah, Odeshu Zekeim Zekeinus Berchovis Yerushalayim. There'll come a time when Yerushalayim will once again be rebuilt, it'll be a safe place, and there'll be generations of Jews there, older and younger, and the older people will be sitting, younger people with their children will be playing. So you want to know what you mean. They didn't believe the Nevuah? So I don't think it means they didn't believe the Nevuah up until then. It does highlight a couple of important things, though. One thing is that not every Nevuah is used for certification. And not every Nevuah comes true soon enough, in the lifetime of the Navi even, to certify him. And that's something we're going to get back to. So Rambam's going to talk about this some more. Which types of Nevuahs would HaKadosh Baruch Hu send a potential Navi in order to certify him? Not all Nevuahs are created equal. We'll get to that mitzvah next time. The way I understand what that Gemara Makkos is saying, I don't think Rabbi Akiva is saying, I thought the Navi was lying until I saw Shul Hilchaba, but I think it does mean is the following. I believed the Nevuah. I'm an observant Jew. The Navi said it, so I believed it would happen one day. But Eino Doma Shmiya Lariya. If I believe it will happen, but it's not the same as you don't feel in your kishkas, the same extent as when you actually see it. I often think that done properly, Yom Ha'atzmaut Yom Yerushalayim can be among the days of the calendar that are most impactful on our ruchnius. Because I believe Be'emunah Shleima Yetzias Mitzrayim. I believe Be'emunah Shleima in the Nisim of Purim and Chanukah. Absolutely. I never saw them. I accept with full faith that they are true. But I never met anyone, for obvious reasons, who remembers Haman. Right? I never met anyone who actually had been Meshubat to Paro. We have a mitzvah, and many Svarim point out, arguably the most difficult mitzvah, Leil HaSeder, far more difficult than eating the right amount of matzah, and gain tafikon by chatzos, is Chayiv Adam Lira says Asim Kli Yasat Meshiv Mitzrayim. Right, to actually try to visualize and feel that we're reliving Yetzias Mitzrayim, that's really hard. It's hard work. It's something that Jews are supposed to strive for. That's really hard. So it takes work to plug into the inner core of Pesach and Purim and Chanukah. We're meant to work on it. Okay. But that takes work. It's not automatic. But my parents remember Eretz Yisrael before Hakamas HaMedina. My mother lived in Rehov Metudela before the establishment of the State of Israel. We know you all know plenty of people who, including your parents, who remember what it was like before 1967 and remember the extraordinary Nisim of 1967. Nisim that rivals the stories of Hanukkah and the stories of perhaps even Yehoshua and Shoftim. So those are things that you can feel more. You can, I believe Emunah Shleima that Pesach and Purim and Chanukah happen. But I mamish know people I know someone who was born on the original Yom Yerushalayim. He was named Eitan Baruch for that reason. So this is something you can feel and touch. So I think that's what Rabbi Akiva is saying, that I always believed in the Nevuah of Zechariah. But now that I believe in the negative Nevuahs and the positive Nevuahs. I believed it. Of course I believed it. But now that I actually see the negative Nevuahs coming true before my eyes, physically, viscerally, there's a fox and it's walking across the Makom HaMikdash. So it's easier for me to mamish feel what it would be like for that positive Nevuah to come to pass. A postscript to that, by the way, is we get to actually that positive Nevuah that Rekiva said, now I can really imagine that positive, it's easier for me to imagine B'chush, that positive Nevuah coming to pass. We get to actually see that positive Nevuah. That Nevuah. Now, if you know where to go in the old city of Yerushalayim, Mitzvah will be there soon, you on the way to the Kotel, you make a right turn, you have to make a right turn. Early on, instead of the store following the way all the tourists go, you can end up, if you know where you're going, you'll end up in a playground that's meant for the residents of the old city. And there's a big rechava where the kids play ball, and along the side there are stone benches where older people often sit. And engraved into those stone benches are those words of Zechariah. Od Yeshu Zakeim Zakeim, Berchovus Yerushalayim. There'll come a time when once again older men and women will be sitting in the streets of Yerushalayim, and the streets are filled. Yiladim Yiladus Mesachakos, Mesachakim Berchovoseh, the little kids are playing, and you mamish, you see that Nevuah inscribed in the stone, and you see the older people sitting, and you see the little kids playing. Like what Rabbi Akiva would have given to see that. So Eino Doma Shmiel Aria. So we believe in Nevi'im, absolutely. But it takes work, and that's part of our avoda. It takes work to try to imagine. The Sefer HaKuzri talks about that at the beginning of the third chelik of the Sefer, about using one's imagination to try to visualize certain scenes that are important for our yadus. But that takes work. Work that's important to invest, but it takes work. But that's what Kiva was saying. I always believed it, but now that I see it, it becomes easier for me to visualize sort of viscerally, physically, what the positive voice will look like as well. We're going to have to get back next time in Eretz Hashem to start talking different types of Nevuah. They say different types, which types of Nevuah would be used for certifying a Navi, different types of claims to Nevuah. Before we even get into the certification, idea already had vaulted us forward into thinking about, you know, predictions versus Mir Nisim. The Rambam is going to, that's a key piece. It's not the only piece. The Rambam is actually going to begin by talking about different types of potential claims of Nevuah, different types of Toanei Nevuah. And we'll start from there, and then we're going to work our way into predictions, and then we'll get from how you know who's a Navi to what's the essence of Nevuah, why it's important, to how it plays into the halachic system.